You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved. The show with nonstop chirps.
I have a family member that is maybe the worst golf player in the history of the game.
I know what you're going to say. Worst player ever, and he chirps people.
He chirps, but he's always got an excuse.
Well, bad back.
This guy will launch one 400 meters into the woods and go, I slipped. You know, it's like, no, you didn't. You just did that in the last hole.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
I've heard that family member golf clip numerous times, and I'm left with one question. Tell me who it is.
I can't tell you.
It's your brother-in-law in Hamilton, isn't it?
No, it's not.
Your dad?
No, it's not my dad.
Just tell me who it is.
I'm not going to get into it.
Yeah,
it's an uncle. It's an uncle of mine. I'll tell you that. It's an uncle.
Is he aware that you made the statement?
I'm not sure. He probably is now. It only plays every second break.
And
what's his? Just say his name.
You only have a certain amount of uncles.
It doesn't matter.
So if you start breaking, you're not a family that has 30 uncles.
I'm going to ask your dad.
Go ahead. He'll tell you. Send him a text.
He knows who it is.
He was listening when we talked about it.
And Did he laugh?
Yes, he was laughing, and he sent me a text saying, I know who it is.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely accurate with that depiction.
It's Uncle Dennis.
Yes.
There's a Dennis.
Uncle Dennis always has an excuse for shooting 140.
That's his name, Dennis?
No.
Oh.
I have an Uncle Dennis. I used to. He passed away, but I had an Uncle Dennis.
It doesn't matter. Like, the truth is, I could come up with a name, and you guys aren't going to know him anyway.
Yeah.
And the audience isn't going to know. So from here on,
we can't throw
moving
whoever.
Forward, it's Uncle Dennis.
Yeah, well, just call him Uncle Dennis.
He's Uncle Dennis. And Uncle Dennis is the one of the bigger chops in the history of the sport of golf. But he's always got an explanation for why he lipped out that 2-foot putt or sprayed one off the tee.
Bad back. Club slipped out of his hand.
Moisture in the air. That's my favorite one. A little bit of moisture up there. Yeah. That's why. That's why you dunked that back in the
pond.
Only a tour player is allowed to say moisture.
What does that even mean, moisture up there in the air? What does that mean?
I guess,
well, when it's like damp and kind of cloudy and drizzly, the ball doesn't travel as far in the air or doesn't get up. But if you're a 30 handicap dude, you can't even begin to say that.
No.
Because your ball's going sideways no matter what.
Right. There's no spin on it.
There's just a knuckleball into hell.
It's a knuckleball. Into hell, and the moisture, the wind, the grass,
back
doesn't matter.
Even a tour player, has a tour player come out and said, you know what, moisture in the air, I had it.
Yeah, they come up with everything, mud on the ball, wind caught it.
They come up with excuses too. They do. Like Tiger claimed that his glutes didn't shoot. Weren't firing. That was the exact terminology.
The glutes weren't firing.
Couldn't get my glutes firing. What the hell?
Meanwhile,
does that
he
mean?
Was slapping it around like your uncle at Torrey Pines.
Right.
During that time.
Yeah, I know. No, it was ugly. We've got a story about a pilot going Ron Burgundy. You've got to hear this. It's out of this world.
There's audio to it?
No, there's no audio. But you'll understand that reference when I read it to you a little bit later in the hour. The Leafs are in action tonight. Ray's going to call in here in a moment. You can hear the game right here on TSN Radio and watch it on TSN 4, puck drop at 7 with Florida in town. But I think the biggest news in the NHL right now is going to be revolving around Drew Doughty and Matthew Tkachuk. They're playing tonight. Is it in Calgary?
It is. It's in Calgary.
So let me read this quote. Drew Doughty, during the game day skate, just teed off on Matthew Tkachuk. Now, they have a history on the ice.
Yeah, I believe, didn't Tkachuk hurt him? Like, there was an injury involved.
Tkachuk took multiple, reckless runs at him.
Right.
Like, reckless runs.
Right.
And I thought he missed them. I don't remember him connecting.
Injury, but, yeah, maybe not. I don't.
You could be right, though. But here's what Drew Doughty said about Matthew Tkachuk. Quote, "No respect for him, none. I respect everyone else. I will never talk to him off the ice. He's not respected by most of the people in the league. It's not just me. That's just a fact." That's what Drew Doughty said about Matthew Tkachuk.
Tough for him to speak for the rest of the league. That is, I know we all talk to people in a lot of people in the NHL. Matthew Tkachuk's name isn't front and center as far as probably the most hated. Is he a pain in the ass to play against? Absolutely. Does he play in the gray area? Absolutely. I think Brad Marchand would be top of that list.
I think they're both in the same pile. Yeah. They're both similar players. They're agitators.
But he's the type of, I'm pretty sure, and I believe Matthew Tkachuk has 78 points.
Marchand's got 90.
Okay, so two great players that get underneath the skin and agitate people. Like that's.
I wouldn't say Drew Doughty's the cleanest player.
No.
Drew Doughty's never up
for us. He's a mouthpiece, too. He's always chirping guys. He's lying. I had a similar situation involving Matthew Tkachuk's father, Keith. I drilled him in the corner, and Jeremy Roenick came over and started swatting me around the shoulders with a stick, and we got into a fencing contest on the ice. And I said after the game, I'm like, Jeremy Roenick, I have, like, this guy thinks he's blah, blah, blah. I have zero respect for him. A month later, I saw him in a restaurant. It was, hey, how's it going? We had a beer, and we've been buddies ever since.
Yeah.
Drew Doughty's full of it. He'll be fine. He'll get over this. Not that he has to while they're playing to get against each other.
No, I like that there's some
but I
sort
know,
of
Drew, I guarantee
line.
If these guys were at a golf tournament together, they would be best of friends.
I'm sure they're a lot alike off the
exactly.
ice.
Exactly.
But the one thing that I have noticed when they play against each other, Doughty doesn't play well. He's more focused on Tkachuk.
Which means Tkachuk
is in his kitchen.
Absolutely. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. I'm sure you saw, did you see the Doughty comments on Tkachuk?
Yeah. Yep.
What do you make of those?
Well, interesting. Nobody says stuff like that. Usually just in the NBA, right? That you have somebody spouting off so directly towards another player. I guess the NFL does it too. So it's, I don't know, it seems really strange to see in the NHL. I kind of like it. They're not supposed to be friends all the time, but I you know, as you guys were saying, both of you, if they run into each other off the ice, I'm sure it's going to be fine. I mean, I'm sure there were lots of guys that didn't like me that I wouldn't have known because you run into them at a golf tournament and they say hi.
Yeah.
You know, like it didn't carry. The only one that didn't was for years and years was, you know, I didn't ever see him much, but when I did, I knew he just couldn't stand me. It was Chris Chelios. So he's, you know, he's friends with the Granados, and at one point he said to Cammy, you know, like, I can't believe you married that guy.
That's a bit bold.
I don't know. We didn't get into this last week. He had some comments about Babcock. He was on a morning show. Did you see, has this guy been vacationing on the sun? Have you seen a picture of him or seen the type of tan he's rolling with right now?
It's George Hamilton-like.
I mean, Tyson Nash has nothing on this guy.
Nasher looks like powder compared to Chris
exactly. Charles.
Powder.
He's enjoyed the sun, that's for sure. But I don't think it's like it. I don't know. Maybe they'll choose not to talk to each other. I mean, that's, you don't have to, right? He's not on your team, but I guarantee you, if he was on his team, they'd
be fast friends.
Together. Oh, you betcha. They'd love it.
But that's the one thing I have noticed is Tkachuk is in his kitchen. When I've watched them play, Doughty has not. He's more worried about a reverse hit, trying to get him instead of just playing.
Well, don't you think that continues tonight?
I think so.
Like if I'm Matthew Tkachuk, I wear this like a badge of honor.
Yeah,
and I'm in warm up, staring at him.
Yeah,
I'm
giving him the smile with the mouth guard hanging. Like
all
I mean,
day.
Tkachuk has that style. The younger brother's the same way. Brady
well,
is
noodles.
Brady's fantastic.
I did the game in Calgary last week. And one of the goals, Matthew knocked Brady off the puck in the corner and made, it was two passes later, it was in the net. And Matthew was sitting like in the first seat to my left and Brady was on the first seat to my right and they were chirping each other pretty good. And Matthew was giving it to him, you know, about just taking the puck from him. And I'm like, oh man, like it's just like they were playing in the basement. And I saw Keith after, and I said, man, your guys were going at it pretty good. He's like, you know, and he just laughs, right? Like, what are you going to do? But they're, so I'm not surprised. He's in his own brother's kitchen, so I'm not surprised he's digging at somebody else.
Speaking of appearances, did you place eyes on Glenn Sather on Saturday night?
Yeah, I don't know what this
Why
is.
Why does he just chewing on that cigar?
That's
with that?
His thing, though. Like, I honestly, you guys know I got traded to the Rangers I was there for 6 weeks. This guy used to walk around with a cigar in his mouth.
The Robin Hood
and
bucket?
And a robe. A white robe.
Right. He had gloves on the whole time.
Why do you have the gloves on?
He's leaving like a murder scene or something.
He looks like Matlock.
Yeah. Like, what's with that?
But he's had the chewed cigar for forever, right?
Yeah.
What's he doing with it? Does he just light that thing up as soon as he exits the building or what?
I don't even know if he smokes it.
I think he does.
Just chews on it.
What's the point of that?
Just rip it in pieces and make a dip.
It doesn't seem very, I can't even quite understand the habit of that. Maybe he smoked cigars at one time and then his next step was not to smoke them, just to chew them. I don't know. About all I got.
Yeah.
I love the guy that says he quit darts and then he just starts inhaling cigars. That's my fave. Actually, that's 5 times worse for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not smoking.
I feel like that's become his thing. You know, other guys have their look, their situation. I believe that Glenn Sather, it's the cigar. He's chewing it on it all the time. And yeah, I don't. What's his role? Is he?
I don't know what
president.
Nothing.
I don't think he's. I think he's advisor to Jeff Gordon. Isn't
I
he?
Think he's supposed to be kind of in between the GM and the owner, kind of like that's his role, I guess. But he's been there for 20 years now.
That's the current GM's worst nightmare: the guy that just hanging around.
Mm-hmm. The owner, through MSG, there, James Dolan and him are pretty tight, and he's not. He's not going anywhere. He's got the job of being there. Which I think would be a terrific job.
It's a spectacular gig if you can get it.
Yeah.
Cause like they say, whenever you sell your business, always keep an office.
That's right.
Keep hanging around.
Yeah.
Well, he is. That's all he's doing.
I don't really understand the appeal of that, but I...
You just get to hang around. You don't have to sit at home all day. Yeah, I'll just keep you on as some type of advisor.
I see.
Keep my office, and I'll be here daily.
Get
I won't bother. I won't bother anyone. I just get my office.
Okay. Leafs Panthers tonight. Ray, you're in town calling it. You can watch it on TSN4. Hear it right here on TSN Radio. Now, 2 weeks ago, the Leafs, they were fishing pucks out of their net all night. And now they're not giving up many goals, but all of a sudden they can't score. And they might be in the softest portion of their whole schedule, the whole season. You know, with Buffalo and New York on Saturday, Florida tonight. They've got Ottawa again on Saturday night. All these non-playoff teams that aren't very good. Tonight they got a rookie in net. Like, shouldn't this be a blowout tonight? Like, isn't it about time they smarten up here and just say, we're not going to just feel good about the puck possession or how we play defensively. Like, get off the snide tonight.
Well, it all lines up for it. I mean, the rookie goalie, Montembeault, gave up 6 on 32 shots the other night against Boston, and they're not going to play Luongo. He'll play tomorrow night in Montreal. They've had, 113 shots in their last 3 games. They've scored 5 goals. And so you would think against a team that can't keep the puck out of their net that they should get plenty of chances, and you would think eventually the puck's going to go in. That's what you think, except sometimes it just doesn't work that way. I like the way they've played from the Nashville game on. I've liked their game. It seems to be hard or elusive for them to put it all together on the same night. A good defensive performance and a really good offensive performance. That seems to be a challenge for them. And I guess really, as I look at the end of the season, that would be the goal. As I would look at it, is to try and have both things firing at the same time, because they haven't had it much.
Well, and you're never going to have all 12 forwards on like a goal scoring streak. You know, like I know we're all focused on all these different guys who are really cooling down at this point, but I think there's two in particular that have got to be rolling come playoff time. For me, it's William Nylander's got to contribute with some goals, and you can sense his frustration today. He said, assists are great, and I feel like I'm around the net, but I'm getting paid to score some goals every once in a while. And Kadri's the other guy. You know, those are two of your top 5 forwards in terms of overall impact, I think, that they can have on the game.
Well, you generally don't 6-5 it or 5-1 it in the playoffs. You need a 2-1 hockey game or a 1-0 hockey game or 3-1 where you need a Marlowe to score. You need a Connor Brown to score. It can't just be Tavares, Marner, Hyman and Matthews.
It's no, just, I hear you, but those guys are going to chip in. Like, I'm not expecting Patrick Marleau to have 12 points in the
first
round.
Okay, if it's the 2-1 game, Nazem Kadri's got to get a 2-1 goal. Those guys got to produce.
But every playoff has that, right? Every playoff's got a guy where, you know, you don't expect him to score, and maybe it's somebody like Connor Brown that gets 2 goals in the series against Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, wow, where do those come from? Because he's got 6 on the season, right? They're going to need them. They're going to need those goals is what I meant. Like, that's what this team is supposed to be built on, is that they're, in my opinion anyway, is that their offense has depth. It's got high-end skill. And if you shut somebody down, somebody else is going to score. And right now they got a handful of guys that have got 0-11 or 1-16 or whatever it is. It's not very good. And so I guess it's better now that they're all in the ditch than if they are come the second week of April. But it would be nice to get everybody feeling a little bit better about themselves and maybe a little more successful than they've been over the last couple of weeks or a month.
Well, that's what it is. Like, you start the playoffs, guys like Kadri, who haven't statistically had his best season, you got zeros. You can start. Like, that's what you expect. Is if you've had a dreadful regular season or a regular season that has consisted of injuries and inconsistencies, guy like William Nylander is a prime example. Like, he wasn't going to hit career highs in anything this year because he didn't join the team till December. But you're rolling at the right time. It's the secondary scoring, but maybe he's the difference maker. If everyone else cancels themselves off, you know that Pastrnak and Marchand and Bergeron and DeBrusque, those guys are going to get their points. And on the other side, if it's Matthews and Marner and Tavares, like, you're going to need a tiebreaker. You're going to need somebody that puts you over the top. And maybe it's Kapanen. Maybe it's Marleau, who Marlowe's been quite invisible some nights. And he's a quiet player that really does a lot of good things, but there's times where you're like, okay, you expect a little bit more right now, and I know everyone's looking at the age, and I don't think the legs have fallen off. I think he's a pretty consistent player, but maybe it's one of those seasons where he just doesn't hit 20 goals.
Yeah, he's consistently doing not anything right now.
So then maybe a playoff is Patty Marleau steps up on top of the other guys.
I guess I look at this stuff about it'd be awesome to have everybody rolling as you get into the playoffs, but there's lots of times you look at a guy that's finished poorly, and for whatever reason, 3 days later, the playoffs start, and he's good. I don't really know why it is. I've had playoffs like that. I had playoffs where I came in rolling along, and then all of a sudden you can't score at all, and I don't really know why it happens, but the best part, or the best way, of course, is to get yourself as healthy and as ready as you can. And if that requires resting a guy now and then, I think you do it. If that requires some more minutes for some players and less minutes for others, I think you do it, because the focus now with, Boston's pretty much gone. So the focus is being ready for game one. And that's what the Bruins are doing too. They're mixing and matching their lines all over the place. They've had injury, but they're now trying Charlie Coyle on the wing. They're trying him at center. They're trying Dan Heinen on one position. They're trying him in another position. They're trying to get their lineup ready for that, not for now, for that second week of April.
Who's your money on, Ray? Columbus or Montreal?
Man, I keep waiting. Maybe I'm just a dummy, but I keep expecting Columbus to roll off about 4 wins, and like just jump away, and it just doesn't happen. I'm still going to take them, and I don't even really know why.
But they look good last night. That I was raving about that Josh Anderson. I think he's a heck of a player.
4th-round pick. The kid's built like a – honestly, he's built like a cement mixer.
Yeah.
And like, he gets rolling, and it's tough to slow him down, and he can shoot, and he's having an outstanding season.
Yeah. I keep, and I've said this before, like, I thought Carolina was going to be the team on the outside, but McElhinney's standing on his head, Mrazek's standing on his head, and they look like a team that's destined.
Right.
Like, they can't lose.
They're 2 back in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they're looking behind them necessarily right now. Why wouldn't Carolina get greedy here? Why not sneak into the 3 seed if you can?
Well, I look at, the 2 goalies couldn't be more different. Their defense is good and mobile. They skate like heck, and I guess they've probably been a team I expected to fade away, and I'm with you guys. I think they're in.
Yeah. It feels that way.
Would Rod Brindamore, I mean, this is the one thing I am struggling with. Ray, I know you've got a vote, and I've got a vote. Like, Coach of the Year. Like, there, I think there's a lot of candidates. Not, I mean, Coop, for me, is still, like, you've got what Tampa's been doing, keeping them motivated, everyone running. But, like Billy Peters, Rod Brindamore, Barry Trotz, Rick Tocchet. Like, this is a year where, to me, I think there's some great candidates out there.
Bruce Cassidy doesn't get enough love.
Yeah.
No kidding.
That's a good call.
Yeah, you're right. That's a great point.
2 years in a row.
He's had a MASH unit for about 3 months. And remember, at the start of the year, they had 5 of the 6 D out.
Yeah.
And here they are again. So this will be of the ones we, you know, that we vote on, or, you know, that I've got to vote for, this will be one of the tougher ones to get right, I think.
Before we let you go, the big news yesterday, Rob Gronkowski announcing his retirement, and I'm not sure anyone's convinced that it's 100% he's leaving the game and never coming back. His agent, I think, was on ESPN this morning and said there's a chance if Brady called him up at some point and needed him, maybe he'd be willing to field that call. But you're a football guy. Are you going to remember Gronk for what he did on the field or the off-the-field antics?
I think impossible to separate.
Yeah.
One is the other. You know, I when I think of him on the field, I think of him wearing that knee brace on his elbow. Like, I mean, the thing was ginormous, right? I'm like, what the hell is he wearing? And then when he was back as the safety guy against Miami, and he just blew a shoe and fell face first onto the ground, and they had that punt that went, you know, that or the game-winning reverse and trickery play. And then I think of all the times where you knew the ball was going there, and they've got him double covered, and that beast just goes up and gets it. Like he was, I mean, first ballot Hall of Famer. Like he was an amazing player.
Yeah, I'm with you,
but
though.
Man, did he have fun.
I don't think you can separate the two because of the team he played on and because he was allowed to have fun, right? Like if he was on any other team, you'd be like, okay, he's one of the guys. But you think about the Brady Belichick era. That has run for 19 years, maybe the most successful duo in the history of football, maybe pro sports. And there's been so many great players and different personalities and characters that have rolled through that compound over 19 years. And the number one guy you think of when you think of a character and a personality is Gronk.
Yeah.
You think of Gronk. And outside of Brady, you may consider him the second greatest Pat in the past 20 years. So he's both.
Let's go on a cruise with Gronk in the offseason.
That's what's coming, man. He's going to be at WrestleMania. I think he'll be there. He's going to get into acting.
Like if you did a raffle where you could buy tickets to go on a cruise, like it would be in Maxim magazine as things to do, trips to go on.
He's going to make potentially as much money off the field than playing football.
He's a brand, right? He's so big, he's disassociated himself with the NFL in a way.
I read an article, and I hope I don't have this backwards, but he never spent $1 of his NFL salary. He lived off his endorsements. So whatever he made, that's what he's got. You know, plus the, you know, whatever was left over from the endorsement. So we think of him as this big buffoon, or at least I do. I'm like, he's kind of a hound. It looks like he's a boozer. You know, he's like a party guy, and then he's this great player, and but he's got his stuff together.
Oh, yeah, he does. He definitely does.
And I think that's maybe as amazing as anything. And something that when I read this article, I'm like, man, I can really respect that. That is really cool.
Leafs Panthers tonight on TSN4. We'll catch you there, and we'll break it all down tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Talk to you then, boys.
There's Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It's the 2019 Toyota RAV4, the safest SUV. See for yourself at Maple Toyota and get rates from 0%. MapleToyota.com. Gronk will be a first ballot Hall of Famer, and if he doesn't come back and continue to play, even if it isn't this year, maybe next year, you know, he takes a full year off, pulls
Jason
Witten.
I think he pulls the Team Mussolini.
Yeah.
I'll see you week 10.
Yeah, he might do that. Why wouldn't he? You know, like, they'll welcome him back with open arms. Of course they would. But first tight end ever with 3 straight 1,000-yard and 10 touchdown seasons. Second all-time in postseason touchdown grabs. Behind Gary Rice, I believe over the last 20 years, 25 years, most yards per catch of any receiver in football. Like, he was a character, bigger-than-life guy, but when he was healthy and playing, unstoppable.
He's going out on top.
Absolutely. Just won a Super Bowl.
Isn't he third in TDs behind Gates and
Tony Gonzalez? Yeah, he's right there, too. And again, injured all the time. Never felt like he was 100%. But when you needed a big catch, Ray's right. Like, we just saw it in the Super Bowl. That was a game where offenses went to die. Like, the Rams and Pats, they didn't put up great numbers. But in the fourth quarter, when Brady needed him...
Downfield, got it right.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you what, though, many moons ago, Barry Sanders shut it down. I'm like, there's no way this guy's gone for good. No way. Was too good. And he was gone.
Calvin Johnson, the same thing.
Sometimes Megatron. Guys mentally are done, too.
Yeah, Megatron, too.
Sometimes guys are like, that's it, I'm done. Yeah. Can't do it.
See, those two, though, that I felt like that was more Detroit. Like, they were like, I can't play here anymore. Like, I can't be a part of this.
Well, he could have played somewhere else.
I guess he could have pulled an Antonio Brown and been like, get me out of here. He could have done that. You're right. But, like, if Gronk is coming back, he's not playing in Cleveland.
Miami.
Yeah, he's not playing for the Fish. He's going back, and he's playing in New England, and they're going to fight for another Super Bowl. We're out of here in an hour. The pregame at 6:30. It's Leafs-Panthers tonight on TSN 4 and on TSN 1050. We will get back into the Gronkowski retirement and our boy Josh Lewenberg with the scoop of the year.
Wow.
I mean, it's not quite there yet, but it's inching towards it. He's got a report up on TSN.ca pertaining to Kawhi Leonard and the Raptors. We'll tell you about that next.
You got to tell me about this pilot, what he was up to.
I'll tell you in like 15 minutes.
I won't be here in... Well, okay.
Yeah, you will. You're out of here at 6, right?
Yeah, well...
You're here for the final segment. Are you here for the final segment this hour?
No, I'm not. I have SportsCenter. You know how I leave early those days?
Mentally.
But I got to hear about this because you sounded like it was...
It is quite interesting.
Well, it's one of those things where it's shocking it doesn't happen more often. I'll just tell you about it.
It is quite
shocking. What the hell did this guy get up
to? I'll just get to it right now. And we'll tell you about what Josh is reporting in just a moment, because clearly this is way more important.
Exactly.
A British Airways flight, and that's a really prominent airline. Like, that's the Air Canada of
Britain.
Of the UK.
Of the UK, yeah.
So British Airways flight, it was scheduled to fly from London to Dusseldorf. And this character in the cockpit, I guess he was handed a flight plan.
Yeah,
before, if you can believe it, the pilot shows up and doesn't really know where he's going. That's kind of my read on the situation.
They filed the wrong flight plan. That's what it was.
So they filed the wrong flight plan, and this pilot gets in, looks at it, goes, all right, we're off to Edinburgh, flies to Scotland. And while they're approaching, he's like, hey, you know, it's 6:28 in Edinburgh. It's 8 degrees. And like, everyone's like, that's hilarious in the back. They think it's funny. They think he's joking. So everybody on the flight thinks this guy's just goofing around. And they land. And it says, like, welcome to Edinburgh. This character flew them to the wrong city.
They were supposed to be going to Germany.
They're supposed to be going to Dusseldorf.
See, I blame so many different people. Like... There are so many checkoffs before you take off. Like, don't you have a co-pilot? Don't you have stewardess? Like,
you have everything.
This should never happen in life.
The scary part is air traffic control. Like, this guy could be heading one direction. He's supposed to be going the other. Like, there's probably scheduled flights on.
Yeah, Harrison Ford. He could Harrison Ford it.
But the reason why I think this is a Ron Burgundy move, like, this guy just shows up, and whatever's on the paper.
He just does.
That guy's doing.
I'm on Burgundy? No.
Like, this guy, think about it. He could have flown to, like, Buenos Aires. Like, they wake up 22 hours later. They're like, what am I still doing in the air?
Yeah.
And this guy's like, welcome to beautiful Buenos Aires. And like, we were supposed to be in Dusseldorf 21 and a half hours ago.
This guy, well, I mean,
like, is he in trouble? Or?
Well, I don't think it's him.
I'm sure he's got a bit of a cop out here. He's claiming that he was, you know, handed misinformation.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of guilty parties with that. Like, they're going to have to have an investigation.
Absolutely. You can't have this happen. That said, if it's this capable, like if it's this possible... All you got to do is get the wrong flight plan to the pilot, and they can take you to the wrong airport. Why? How is this not happening more often? Like, seriously. Like, this guy just picked up a binder and was like, all right, Scotland it is.
Here's the coordinates.
Start it
here
up,
we go.
Let's go. Like,
fire it up.
Like, this is a Ron Burgundy situation.
It is, but it's horrifying because of air traffic control, everything. Like, flight plans... have to be filed around it, because if he's flying at a certain altitude, 33,000 feet in airspace where other planes are traveling, if he's supposed to be going one way and he's going another, like that could cause a major issue. Now, if it's been punched into the computer, that flight is just, they're going from, you know, London to Edinburgh, then everyone thinks it's just going there.
And what about his own schedule? Doesn't he get a schedule? Hey, buddy, this morning you're going to Dusseldorf.
That's okay, what I'm saying.
I'm fired up to go to Dusseldorf.
Like you
call your buddy in Dusseldorf. Hey, I'm coming to Dusseldorf. And then you're going to some, like, come on.
You don't walk onto the panel tonight and say,
welcome to the Kings, Anaheim.
Yeah. Like, you know, I would assume this guy's driving to the airport knowing I'm flying to Dusseldorf.
Yeah.
I'm out in an hour.
Say you sit down tonight and you're doing the L.A. Calgary game. Duthie goes, what do you think of Johnny Goudreau? We got a roll in for you. You're like, what the hell's going
on? Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, you give the
Boudreaux. And I guess when they landed this, he thought he was like a comedian, and he asked everyone, like, hands up if you want to fly to Dusseldorf, and no one was in the mood. Like, they all put their hand up, they're like, let's go. Like, yes, I want to get to Dusseldorf.
How about a middle finger?
So then was he still the dude that took him to Dusseldorf?
Yes, as far as I know, they refueled and this guy was back up in the air and on his way to Dusseldorf.
Yeah, it's just a mistake, but it's
a bit of a pit stop.
That's a tough one.
All right, so Josh Leuenberger, TSN Raptors reporter. This is the title of the piece. This is going to cause a big stir in the city. Raptors increasingly confident they can keep Kawhi. Behind the scenes, many Raptors officials have become increasingly confident in their chances of re-signing Kawhi Leonard this summer, sources tell TSN. Does that change your percentage? I mean, Josh isn't some hooligan in a basement somewhere. This guy's connected.
It does change my percentage, but if my percentage was 20% before, it goes to 40. Like, it may double it, but it's still not. Like, I'm not 95% now.
Because I am still have a very high Jerry's of him not staying here because of one comment, and you know what that comment is. I'm so used to walking out of my house without a jacket. For some reason, that comment really sticks with me.
Well, I mean, that's one thing. Toronto, if that was the case, we've all been down this road before. If weather is the determining factor, then it didn't matter.
But it's not just about weather.
It's a lifestyle.
Yes, it's a lifestyle. I lived in South Florida for 2 years. It's a different. You're in a different universe.
I hear you, but I don't sense that Kawhi Leonard, if he was in L.A. right now, this guy's walking down Rodeo Boulevard or Rodeo Drive or whatever, you know, and he's sitting at cafes and he's, you know, stopping chats with the fans down
Sunset.
But
he might be able to do something as simple as have a barbecue.
Yeah, he could.
Not last month. You're not doing that here,
no,
are you?
You're right. You're not sitting at the pool outdoors.
No.
That's not going to happen.
Oh, and he doesn't have his family members there. Like, that's one thing he may be looking at is if I go home, like,
hangers on, like, guys are driving,
that's
up.
Something like John Tavares came home, but I guarantee you him and his, I think he got married, so it's his wife,
yeah,
him and his wife had to have that conversation with everyone going, if I'm coming home, like, the Uncle Dennis's of the world, your uncle,
yeah,
I don't want him at the house 3 times a week sniffing around. Can you get Austin Matthews to sign this? Can you do that? Like, you had to probably lay the law down with a bunch of people, your core, and then the floaters around you and said, this is how it's going to roll.
Well, how much did you guys appreciate leaving your hometown for the season and having that as a home base where I go back for 3 months in the summer and it's great.
Yeah.
But when I'm ready to go play and be a professional, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I did, but that's all I knew at the time. Like, the first 12 years of my career, I played in the U.S.
But the same thing with Kawhi.
Yeah, you know, I missed it. I missed it. Like, coming home, like, there were times where I played in St. Louis, and I would go home to Edmonton for the break because I'd want to see my buddies or I'd want to see my family. I hadn't seen them in a while. Instead of going to Vegas or going to wherever, Miami Beach. But I'm saying, like, him, Kawhi has probably had to have that conversation with whoever he has in his life. If I even think about signing in the L.A. area, like, how is my life going to change from a distracted athlete?
I hear
standpoint?
You, but he's also from San Diego. He's not from L.A. So
right.
His family and his friends, they're, what is that, two and a half hours south of L.A.?
Yeah.
But still within striking distance. You know, You can get there if you want to. But I can't speak for Kawhi, I can't speak for pro athletes, but I would think there would be And I got this sense from DeMar DeRozan. Loved going back to L.A. L.A. will always be his home. You know, it's the same thing with hockey players.
Right.
Toronto will always be McDavid and Stamkos. They will always be their home.
Right.
But Stamkos loves, on September 1st, packing up and saying, I'm out of here, and I'll see you in 9 months.
Yeah.
You know, and I think DeRozan enjoyed doing that, too. He loved L.A., still went back to play a couple times a year, all-star break if you could get back there or whatever, bye week you get back. But I like the idea of packing up shop and knowing I'm leaving and I'm living somewhere else to be a professional athlete.
I did both. I love both. Yeah. I love packing up every August 1st, going to Carolina.
And you could ask
6-7 months.
You could ask
and I also
Austin
love
Matthews.
Playing in Toronto.
You know, you could ask Austin Matthews the same thing. Like he packs up shop in Arizona and flies up to Toronto. That being said, when I went back to Calgary and went back to Alberta, I played junior in Lethbridge. I grew up in Edmonton. I ended up in Calgary. Like it was kind of neat. There was a few weird things. I think I told you my first ever game as a Flame. I'm sitting on the bench and this guy from grade 7 is banging on the glass. He's wearing a fur coat. And yelling, Jamie, it's Doug. And I'm like, what the hell do you want? And Greg Gilbert was the coach. He walked over and goes, get your agent out of here. And like turned around, was joking. But like it was
embarrassing.
Weird.
Like how
it is.
Dumb
like
are you
what
to
am I
that?
Gonna say to this guy?
Yeah, but people they don't
he's
understand.
He's yelling, call me, call me. I'm like, I don't know your number. I haven't seen you since grade 7.
They don't understand that. Like I have a junior.
Yeah, but I want to hear
it's a junior story. But my grandfather used to live in Michigan.
Yeah.
Right. And he wasn't a big sports guy, and he was 6'6". He was a monster. 6'6".
6'6".
So we went to play at Plymouth, and I'm in warm up, and I'm a nobody. I'm a rookie in the league. He's hanging over the glass, waving at me. And trying to get my attention to come over. And I'm mortified. And I'm looking at and I'm giving him like the wave.
Yeah, kinda, like
get
later.
The hell out of here. I'll see you after the game. Like, I told you, I'll see you after the game.
And he's but trying to get your attention.
Yeah, he hadn't been to a hockey game in forever, if ever. Like a borderline professional one where there's warm-ups and all that. 6'6", hanging over the glass.
I had an uncle walk in the dressing room in London and drop off a bushel of apples at my feet. Enjoy the apples. And then he walked out.
It's like, but it does, for them, it's like that's this but, is what I'm doing.
And they're
care.
Caring; they don't know better.
Exactly,
it's not their fault. But
no.
But getting back to Kawhi, we don't know. This guy doesn't speak publicly.
Right.
We have no idea. But so if Josh has got intel,
well,
like he's not making that up.
I think what's important to point out is Josh is not reporting that Kawhi Leonard has told him that he's really leaning towards staying. What Josh is reporting here is that sources are telling him within the Raptors organization. So use your imagination at who might be the powers that be that feel good about that. They're starting to feel better about the relationship that they've sparked, about the trust that they put in place,
right,
and the relationship growing between Kawhi Leonard and the organization. So even though we goof on it with load management and all that kind of stuff, this is what they've been doing. It has been a full year of courtship, and he's amping it up, man. He looks great.
Yeah.
Like Kawhi is getting ready for the playoffs, and the payoff will start in a couple of weeks for them. But that's a big report, and that's all it is at this point. Until he actually signs, it's conjecture, it's debates, but it's better than, hey, sources are indicating they know he's gone, and they have no chance at re-signing him.
Put it this way, if he gets a reaction in a negative way, because Kawhi is a few times made some snide comments in a scrum being like, you guys got to get some better questions.
Yeah, exactly. Leave me alone here.
So if he comes out and says somebody's making something up, you know.
Leafs in action tonight. We're out of here at 6:30 for the pregame. Puck drop at 7. You can watch it on TSN 4. We'll tee that up. Back into Drew Doughty's comments about Matthew Tkachuk.
He had some other ones, too.
And
about the Norris.
Oh, did he? I didn't see
about
those.
About Giordano.
Okay.
And well, that Burns.
All right. Well, we'll get into that a little bit as well. And Marcus Stroman with a big follow on Instagram. The Blue Jays are in Montreal tonight and tomorrow. We'll start teeing that up as their roster is starting to come together. And it does not look good. I don't see how they get to 70 wins.
No, but the Indians in Major League.
That's basically what they are. They're just a bunch of guys.
Give me any of that Olay.
That's what they need. It's Lou Brown.
Yeah.
No Can Charlie Montoyo be Lou Brown?
Roger Dorn is at third base.
Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, Overdrive has a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs Lightning on April 4th. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you will have the chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue, this Maple Leaf has also played for the Lightning and Avalanche. Lightning and Avalanche. There you go.
Toronto, Tampa, Colorado.
I know who it is.
John Michael Lyles.
Nope. Well, it could be. No, could he never be. Played in Tampa, though. I don't think he did.
No.
Did Chris Dingman play for Toronto?
This one is an obvious one.
Oh, for me. Yeah. Yeah.
He's your boy.
Yeah,
we'll exactly. leave it there, and yeah. that's it. But this one, I'd be surprised if
Mike
it isn't him.
Johnson.
Could be Johnny.
Johnny.
So the Leafs are in action tonight, losing in 3-on-3 overtime on Saturday. They're saying all the right things. You know, every day, you know, during practice, we're good. We'll be fine. We're too good not to score.
Yeah, we'll have a bounce back and pound Florida into the ground.
That's what I'm saying tonight. You've got a backup rookie goalie in net.
Never heard of the guy. Montan Blanc.
Actually, I think he's got a chance. He looks pretty good.
Who cares? Well, it's fine. He's not ready yet. You know, he gave up six the other night to Boston, like Ray said.
Why is, is Bobby Lou shut down?
He's playing tomorrow night. It's Rimes that's shut down. He's injured.
How do you feel about that? Because this kid's from Quebec, too.
Yeah, Bobby Lou is.
Bobby Lou says Montreal. He gets Montreal.
Plus, his record in Montreal is quite impressive.
No, but they don't care about record. They're out of it. No, I know, but I hear what you're saying.
Choose. Okay, do you want to go against a high scoring team or a lower scoring team? Take your pick.
Right. Yeah. I guess what I'm saying is, you know, throw a bone to the kid, let him play in Montreal. But if he's going to make it to the NHL,
he'll play there
eventually.
I don't see him. I see him playing one more year in the AHL next year. But
what's wrong with Reimer?
He's injured. That's it. I don't know. I haven't checked. Honestly, I haven't checked what his status is.
What are the Jerry's he ever plays for Florida again? What's your Jerry's on James Reimer playing another game for Florida?
He is, if I'm running Florida, he will be Robidaud this summer at whatever cost that might be.
It's an undisclosed injury.
Yeah, torn cartilage.
No, I just... I don't know. It's 50-50 next year, depending on what they end up doing. I don't know if they're in on Bobrovsky. I would imagine they're more in on Panarin, but that one would be...
Look, you need somebody, because Luongo, you can't keep relying
on him. Yeah, 39, be 40. Like, that's the one thing, though. I think Louis, it's health. It's not, like, Louis can still play. Like, when he's healthy, he's a great goaltender. It's just health is, I mean, father time. That's right. What it is. The body's...
Especially at that position.
It's the hips, the everything. That groins, it's tough. But, yeah, Louis will go in Montreal. This young kid, I think, has a chance of being an everyday NHLer.
Well, watch him tonight. He'll make 48 stops.
Yeah, let's not sleep on this guy in case he does come up with the Georgiev.
But, can't keep... I'm so sick and tired of, like, wow, that guy, look what happened here. Ah, just missed the net. Oh, yeah. All these shot opportunities. No, like, I get it. There's some underlining positivity. And them scoring goals is not a big concern for me. The team will score goals. But just tonight, make it easy on yourself once.
Just have that veteran good team performance where it's like, no question, do your job and...
Be up 3-0 after the first.
I mean, you got to respect your opponent. There's no such thing as just throw your sticks out there.
There should be tonight.
Get it done.
Like, honestly, they've been slumping. They lost to the Rangers on Saturday night. The Rangers. They're tanking. They're done. Get out there and spank this team tonight.
Got it.
Oh, you're off to do the panel?
We'll chat tomorrow at 4 p.m.
You got it. Noodles, you and I stick around for an abbreviated half hour on the other side of the clock. The Tap Man and Greg Gilbert coming up with the pregame at 6:30. So we'll tee that up next.
You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved.